The Law Focus Podcast. Bringing you the facts. Handing you your rights. This is Law Focus.
Welcome to Law Focus. It's once again 7 p.m. on a Tuesday night. And we are back to our legal conversation. My name is Basil Shirinda, and I will be having this discussion with you for the next hour here on VAW FM 88.1. Tonight we are discussing domestic workers' employment rights. Our focus will be on the minimum wage implementation, which has been proposed by the Department of Labor, and secondly, the working conditions of domestic workers. The Department of Labor has continued to brief and educate employers and employees on the national minimum wage that is set to come into effect now on the 1st of May 2018. And that in effect means that domestic workers will be earning 75% of this new proposal, which is plus minus 2,600 to or 15 rands an hour. Now, the new national minimum wage is going to increase to 20 rands per hour. Now, there's so many challenges around that. But now, the reason for the lower wage is due to the higher risk of unemployment for domestic workers if the minimum wage is too high. News of how domestic workers have been unfairly treated have made rounds, and we've all been acquainted with that information. And hence, Tidi Sotola wrote the thesis at the University of Cape Town, looking at the black women's experiences in domestic work. And much of her conclusion has been that the conditions of employment are not conducive to these women who are in domestic work. And it has been evident that employers are not meeting the minimum standards of hiring domestic workers. Now, that already is a red flag because it is a contravention of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. And some domestic workers have had to work long hours without overtime payment and with no leave, and also for a low salary. Not to mention that some of them are subjected to that. And also health conditions. Health conditions have resulted to domestic workers experiencing sickness, which range from back and joint pain to stress and high blood pressure. So I guess for this evening, we are discussing the minimum wage implementation. We're discussing working conditions, which is the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. We are discussing Labor Relations Act. And also we are discussing some of the sociological implications of domestic work. But before we get into that, we're going to start the show as we normally do here on Law Focus with the legal hotspots of the week.
Rounding up all the top stories of the week is Legal Hotspots.
This evening for our Legal Hotspots, we have three areas that we should be focusing on. We're looking at the High Court ruling by the Western Cape High Court and also the Devon High Court ruling. And we're also looking at the enactment of the minimum wage. Now, far more importantly is for, in my view, the Western Cape High Court ruling, because it has had far-reaching implications for protesters in this country. So now, here's the blow-by-blow on what protesting is about. Where the Regulations of Gatherings Act breaks protesting into two categories. The first one is demonstrating. The second one is gathering. Now, the gathering is when it's 15 or less people, and demonstrating is when it's 15 or more people. So now, Section 12 of the Regulations of Gatherings Act, which is the legislation that regulates protesting, requires under Section 12, Subsection 1 and Subsection 2, that you must hand in notice when you go out and protest. Now, some people have argued that in actual fact, it's not fair on gatherers instead of demonstrators, because if you give a notice to the Metro Police Department and the South African Police Services, they know how to regulate that protest. And giving notice means that you need to get permission to protest. Otherwise, then your protest is unlawful and therefore does not get protection under the law. And you can be removed by the police services either by force or by requesting you to move away. But now what happened recently in the Western Cape High Court is that a couple of gatherers went out to protest without notice, and they were charged with attending a gathering for which no notice had not been given, which is a Section 12 offense. And then they all pleaded not guilty to these charges. And what the Western Cape High Court did is that it ruled that Section 12, Subsection 1 and Subsection 2, particularly relating to gatherers, is unconstitutional in that there's no rational basis for why there's a need to give notice. Now, if you remember, under the threshold inquiry, whenever you check if something is constitutional or unconstitutional, you start off you start off with checking whether there is a violation or an infringement of the right of the right under the Bill of Rights, which is the right to protest in this case. And then you go on. If the answer is yes, there is an infringement, then you go on into limitation, because rights can be limited. You go into limitation and you check if there is a rational basis for why a government needs to regulate or needs to limit this right. And in this particular instance, the court was not convinced as to the reasons that which the government provided for limiting this right. Now, secondly, the Devon High Court had a matter of how the Devon or the city of Devon authorized the development that would have implications on the environmental protection of the city. That is, it had an effect on air, water, and soil quality, and that would have affected people's lives. And therefore, as a result, under the NEMA, it violated the National Environmental Management Act, and it also violated some of the proclamations and regulations that which are provided under review law or administrative review law. And so the argument that which was posed before the Devon High Court was that, one, there was no participation by people who stay in Devon. That's number one. Number two, the impact assessment was not of high quality. Now, what you will take note of these two matters is that, one, they are a review of our current laws, but also they have high-reaching implications for people's lives, and particularly those who are marginalized, and that is the essence of our legal hotspots. Moving on to the enactment of the minimum wage, it will also be noted that the minimum wage will be coming into effect on the 1st of May 2018, and therefore each and every person who is in an unskilled labor space will be earning 3,500 rands per month or 20 rands per hour of their work. And that will tie us nicely into the topic of the evening. Please do stay tuned. This is our legal hotspots.
Rounding up all the top stories of the week is Legal Hotspots.
Welcome back to Law Focus, and you're still sitting here with Basil Shirinda, and we're still discussing domestic workers' employment rights. Please don't forget us to tweet us at VowFM with the hashtag Law Focus. As we have said at the beginning of the show, tonight we are talking about the employment rights of domestic workers, and we are looking specifically at the working conditions and the wage increment implementation. Now, domestic workers deal with various challenges. A very disturbing story has been on the news recently. A domestic worker has laid charges on a 45-year-old man, accusing him of raping her until the early hours of the next day, before forcing her to perform oral sex on his dogs. This particular woman has also been addressed as a bloody K-word, as you would know. There are many other similar disturbing stories of domestic workers suffering from abuse of all forms at their workplaces. At the very least, stories of domestic workers complaining about the unregulated working hours and lack of overtime compensation, not to mention salary payments that do not even come close to the minimum wages, it's appalling. I mean, really, it's appalling. So to shed light on this topic, we'll be speaking to Kilavakhile Kano from the Socioeconomic Rights Institute of South Africa. And we'll also be speaking to Ms. Aisha Pando, who is from Sweep South, who is a co-founder and CEO of Sweep South. We'll also be speaking to Gloria Kente from the South African Domestic Services and Allied Workers Union. Later on, we'll be speaking from a legal representative from the Legal Aid South Africa. Please stay tuned, and please tweet us or hashtag Law Focus with your views. It's still Law Focus. It's law, and it's serious.
Law Focus, handing you your rights.
Welcome to Law Focus. Good evening, and my name is Basil Shirinda, and once again we're looking at some of the issues that which most of us deal with as civilians of the law. And the topic today is domestic workers' employment rights. And on the line, we have Ms. Kilebogile Kano from the Socioeconomic Rights Institute of South Africa, and she's an attorney there. Good evening, and welcome to the show, Ms. Kilebogile.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Look, thank you for having you and for having us and listening to us. I mean, getting into it, I mean, so there are tons of... Today we're looking at one of the strongest case studies, and we imagine that there are many other stories that which domestic workers deal with. So can you please tell us what are some of the challenges that, in your view, domestic workers face on a daily basis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think when we are discussing domestic work as a sector, it's quite important to put things into historical context and perspective in order to understand the kinds of challenges that domestic workers today are facing. So the first thing that I guess we need to know is that domestic work has a long history in South Africa, and it has undergone several transformations. So in the beginning, around the 18th century, it was slaves who performed domestic work.
Yeah.
And at a later stage, when the work became wage labor, when people were actually paid for it, they were still seen as servants.
Yeah.
And again, more recently, during the apartheid era, when domestic workers, I guess women, predominated the sector, they were discriminated against because of their gender, their race, their class, and they had unfair working conditions, unreasonable working hours. So the treatment of domestic workers today and the attitudes and the behaviors that we see today were actually formed over years of inequality and years of degradation and exploitation. And I guess other factors that contribute to the challenges that they face is that domestic work is undervalued in society. So domestic workers don't receive the same respect for their work as other workers, mainly because it's not seen as real work. I guess the main reason for this is that tasks like cooking, like cleaning, like caring for children and the elderly are things that are expected to be done by women without pay as part of their role as women. Another issue is that domestic workers are vulnerable to exploitation because their work is hidden away. It's in the private realm. It's in the home, away from public scrutiny. And with employers who generally wield significant power over domestic workers, this results in many cases of exploitation about some of their problems. And so I think a combination of all of these factors that I've just mentioned results in, on average, a domestic worker in South Africa working very long hours without compensation for overtime, having wages that are not enough to cover their needs or for them and their families to live decent lives. Mm-hmm. A domestic worker who, over the course of a year, will not be given the leave that is due to them, who work under threat of constant threat of dismissal, who are subject to disrespectful treatment, they don't even have employment contracts to protect them. So a lot of these issues that domestic workers are facing today is a result of the institution being entrenched in society over many, many, many years. Under unfair conditions.
I mean, you mentioned something quite important there. You mentioned unregulated working hours, and you also spoke mm-hmm. about overtime. Some of them do not get compensated for that, and ill will treatment. So I'm concerned about. So now, we are lawyers, and most of the time the issue is always: do we have great laws or do we have terrible implementation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which one is it?
So I guess it's a little bit of both. So,
okay.
I mean, domestic workers are covered by the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, by the Labor Relations Act and other legislation pertaining to workers in South Africa. But they also have a sectoral determination that's dedicated to their sector. And the problem with domestic work, what's unique about domestic work, is that because of its existence or the workplace being in the home of an employer, it's very difficult to enforce it. And so I guess it's a combination of both. I mean, if you look at, you know, minimum wage, so that's also regulated, and it's a constant debate whether it constitutes a fair wage. And so while some of the laws actually protect domestic workers, there's some that need to be worked on a little bit more.
Okay.
But the main problem with the sector is that it's very difficult to enforce because it's in the private realm or the so-called private realm.
Okay, no, I mean, interesting. Also looking at the current implementation of the minimum wage, what are your comments on it?
Mm. So I think, the fact is that while other workers will be getting, I think, the proposals for them to get 20 rand per hour for their wages, domestic workers and farm workers will be getting less than that. And I think the general consensus amongst the domestic workers that I've spoken to, as well as other organizations that work with domestic workers, is that this is unfair. So there's an amendment of the other acts as well.
Oh,
the repealing of the Sectoral Determination 7, which regulates the domestic service sector.
Yeah.
So I think that is also a cause for concern, in addition to the minimum wage that is proposed for domestic workers, which is still quite low.
So your position is that the minimum wage currently, the one that is being proposed, is low?
So it is low for domestic workers. But then I think the larger conversation that society needs to be having is whether this minimum wage constitutes a fair wage. So is it enough for a family to live on the proposed wage? And it's a constant conversation that we're always debating.
And what's your position on that? Because I think that's where we're going.
Look, I think if we take into consideration all the factors that a family needs in order to cover their basic needs, so education of children, housing, transport and travel, all of these different factors, food, I think, is the biggest one, then the minimum wage that is being proposed, in my opinion, is not enough to cover that. So an organization that's based in Pietermaritzburg called PAXA estimates that a family needs about 2,600 rand to cover their basic food nutritional needs. And a lot of domestic workers get that amount, you know? And so I think, yes. And I think another issue is that because it's the minimum wage is proposed to be per hour, that when you take into consideration the fact that many domestic workers work on a casual basis, what they will be taking home at the end of the day will still, it won't be 3,500 rand, because that's if you take it, per month.
Yeah.
If they work on an hourly basis or on a daily basis, odd hours or odd jobs, then it's not going to come up to that, even that amount, which in and of itself is still debatable whether that's enough.
Yeah, I mean, you're touching on the real issues, and I would have loved to go further, but unfortunately I cannot go that far. Thank you so much for your time, Ms. Kilebogile Konou from the Socioeconomic Rights Institute of South Africa. She was talking to us about domestic workers and the broad challenges that which they deal with, and their employment rights, and the implementation of those employment rights. And her position is that the current minimum wage plan is very low, and some of the issues that they deal with is very difficult to implement. Ms. Kono, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Law Focus. Point of information.
Welcome back to Law Focus, your point of information right here on VOW FM 88.1. Once again, it's law and it's serious, and you're here on a legal conversation. So we're still discussing the employment rights of domestic workers, and we have two interesting guests on the line. That is co-founder and CEO of Sweep South, Ms. Aisha Pando. Now, Sweep South is an online cleaning service that deploys various domestic workers on demand. Ms. Pando, welcome.
Welcome. Thanks for having me. Well, I'm glad to be
here. Ms. Pando, can you please tell us what are the legal approaches for protecting domestic employees for the unconducive working environments?
Sure. So I think let me maybe just start by clarifying what Sweep South is, because I think that's the first kind of misconception about our service and why it was started. So Sweep South is an online platform that connects domestic workers to homeowners who are looking for their services. So we ourselves are not employers, and Sweep South domestic workers who work on our platform aren't employees. What we're trying to do is give people earnings opportunities through the platform. So, you know, lift them from conditions where they're either unemployed or underemployed, so where they are not earning or under-earning, and basically give them access to opportunities to earn and access to homeowners. And in some cases, you know, people may then leave the platform. We're not a labor broker, so we don't take any fees if someone does choose to leave the platform and work permanently for an employer or a homeowner. But what we're doing is introducing the two sides to each other. That said, the business was started on the premise of wanting to improve working conditions and these earning opportunities for domestic workers. And so although we don't necessarily have various legal rights for protecting Sweep Stars as an employer would, we obviously, from an ethical and moral reason, protect people from things like low pay, from bad treatment from homeowners, and we do this through the platform. So we obviously set a rate, we set minimum rates, there's a minimum amount of hours that Sweep Stars will work in a home. And then we also have a support team, for example, that you know, that is available to Sweep Stars for every single booking that they're in. And so that can protect them or provide, whether it's emergency help or security assistance or whatever may be required.
So as you are saying to us that you also do research, would that also include that you do research of the conditions of employees under their employers as domestic workers?
So we don't at this stage, and that's one of the things that we, you know, that now that we've reached some sort of scale within the South African domestic work environment, it is something that we you know, very eager to start to do. It's not just to look at sweet stars and the experience of sweet stars on our platform, but also just to start to become a voice for domestic workers in general in the country, and to start to look at things like, you know, what are working conditions. Where can things be improved? How can they improve? How can we use the feedback that we are constantly getting from sweep stars on our platform to try and improve the conditions of domestic workers in South Africa in general? So that's certainly our aim as a company. You know, we started this business to not just improve the lot for a small group of domestic workers in the country, but really to be this force that is through the scale of the company, and as the company grows, is able to really start impacting the daily experience of domestic workers in general.
Okay. I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, recently we know that the minimum wage is going to be implemented on the 1st of May. And we know that the rate per hour has been increased from 15 rands to 20 rands. And the rate per month has been increased from 2,500 rands to 3,500. And people have had different takes on it. And I was hoping that Sweep South can also give its view on it.
Absolutely. So I think you know, and this is a complex issue. So I'm not going to give you a simple feedback on the issue. So and it's complex because it sweeps out view that the minimum wage in itself isn't an adequate living wage. So you know, the 2,500 rand or so minimum, up to around 3,500 rand, I think is the kind of that's the average that South Africans pay to domestic workers. Neither of those constitute a decent living wage. But I think we have to be realistic about what South Africans are able and willing to pay, and also, you know, take that in the context of a country where, you know, we have slow economic growth, where the average middle-class earner is very constrained. And also where in a household, the wages for domestic workers are coming from people's earnings. So your salary, you know, minus tax and other deductions is then used to pay a domestic worker in your home. And I don't think it's as easy as saying, oh, well, if you can't afford a domestic worker, you know, just don't, you know, don't employ someone. The reality is that there are a million people who are part of this industry in the country. We have unemployment issues in the country. So that's not a solution either. So, you know, I think that the minimum wage is it's a start. It's the absolute bare minimum, but it certainly needs to be improved and increased over time. And in terms of sweep south, you know that our rates are 30 rand per hour. Our average booking size is around 7.2 hours. So that's around 4,200 rand per month. So, you know, I know that we're on the right side of both the minimum and on averages in urban areas and cities, but that still needs to be improved, both through wages increasing and also through the provision of very cheap, so low cost, or free benefits outside of just wages and earnings.
No, I mean, Ms. Pando, I could go further and further and further, but unfortunately, I cannot go further than this. Thank you so much for your time. That was the co-founder and CEO of Sweep South, Ms. Aisha Pando. And we're also going to be speaking to the South African Service and Allied Workers Union General Secretary, Mighty Void Boy. But anyway, for now, thank you, Ms. Pando. Thank you for contributing this evening.
My pleasure. We look forward to continuing to work to try and help domestic workers in the country.
That's the positive attitude that we're looking for. Thank you. I mean, we're still continuing with our discussion. And on the line, as I've said, we have Ms. Gloria Kente from the South African Domestic Service and Allied Workers Union. And she'll be speaking on behalf of the General Secretary, Mighty Vet Boy. Now, I mean, good evening, Ms. Gloria. Welcome.
Good evening, sir.
Welcome to our show. I mean, this is a show that deals with the real issues in the society. Let's get into it. It seems that working conditions for domestic workers are getting more and more challenging. What is your stance on working conditions? What have you noticed thus far?
What I notice now, the workers are getting more retrenched by the employers.
Mm-hmm.
The workers are getting unfair labor practice from the employers.
Mm-hmm.
They are not treating them very well. Every day in the office, we have a worker that is coming to lay a complaint about how the employers treating her, and then about how the employers cutting their working days.
Mm.
And then, for example, the workers, they are getting sick like everybody.
Mm.
And then when the worker asks the employer, can I go to the hospital because I've got an appointment? The employer will say, no, you can't go on this date because I need you. What about the health of the domestic worker?
Mm.
Because it is very important that the person must look after the themselves. So, but to the employers, it is not an easy to let the domestic worker to go to the clinic, to go to the doctors. There is something that is behind the, like, because you are employed by the employer, you must play by the rules. You must say, not look after yourself.
Mm.
Yeah.
So,
and then if you are not doing what the employer is asking you, it's easy to say, just leave my premises.
Mm.
Yes.
So would you say that on that note, maybe some employers take advantage of the fact that most employees or most domestic workers actually need the job, and hence,
yes.
Okay. And what would you say are the main issues? Would it be that we have good law but terrible implementation, or we need more law to enhance?
Well, I would say we do have a good laws, but mm-hmm. but there's no implementation.
Mm.
For an example, the domestic workers, they've got a UIF, but when they retrenched or they are dismissed by the employers, when it comes to draw their money from Labor Department, you will find out that they are not registered.
Mm.
And then we as a union, we always send the workers to go to the Labor Department to go to check if they are registered. Mm. And then at the end, when the employee lost the job, it is the employee who's going to do up and down. Although we spoke with the Labor Department that the Labor Department must help the domestic workers to go to visit the employers to see if the employees are registered. But the Labor failed to do that. At the end, it's going to be the domestic worker who's going to suffer when it comes to the UIF.
Mm.
Yeah, so to us, it is something that the laws are there, but there's no implementation.
Interesting. I mean, so there are some companies that pay their employees less than their minimum wage, and which gets me to the next aspect of our questioning, the national minimum wage implementation policy. I mean, we've heard about it.
Mm.
And we know that it's going to pay workers, unskilled workers, 20 rands per hour, and 3,500 rands per month. What is your stance on that? Do you think it's enough, or do you think there's still more, or what?
As far as I know, the domestic workers are not getting that 3.5 on the 1st of May.
Mm.
They are going to get less husband did. I think it's going to be 2.7 and some odds.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we are, as a union, we are not happy. Mm. Because the domestic workers are contributing to the economy of this country. And then they go to the same shop that the employers are going. They buy the same food. They are living like same like the employers. So now to us, it's like Roman. They are still exploiting the domestic workers about that. And then even there's no time, that time frame, saying that, okay, this year the domestic workers will reach that 3.5. It's only other places of work that they said they will end the 3.5, but the domestic workers, it is not going to be 3.5. So it is not good.
To press you even further on that. I mean, for the past 10 years, I'm sitting here with research on how the minimum wage has moved over the 10 years. And I've noticed that it's only a difference of 40 rands.
Yeah.
For the past 10 years.
For the past 10 years.
Let alone inflation, let alone market change, still 40 rands. That's the difference. For the past 10 years, it has moved to 5, 10, 5, 10. And right now it has moved to 5 rands in an hour.
Yeah. And that is why I'm saying we are not happy at all. It looks like now the minister doesn't listen what we're saying as a domestic worker. He does hear and don't listen. She doesn't take notice of what is happening to the domestic workers. The domestic workers are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But, I mean, some companies have actually hinged that it's a good start. Maybe we are moving in a certain direction. I mean, we have online companies, online platform companies that hire employees or domestic workers, and they say no. In actual fact, it's a start somewhere. Even though it's not, it's a bare minimum of basic services that people can afford. That is basic food, water, and so forth. I mean, 3,500 rand, and as you are saying, it's going to be less than that in implementation, as we know, is enough to feed someone.
It's
right?
Not enough.
It's not. So you are arguing differently. You're saying it's not enough.
It's not enough because you know what? The domestic workers, they've got children that are going to the big schools like the university, the technicon. They need money. They need transport money. They need clothes. They need food. So how can you survive with 2,700 rent? You can't. Even that 3.5.
It's still not enough.
It's still not making it.
Because some companies like Sweep South are actually arguing the opposite. They're saying that, well, at least it's a bare minimum and there's a need for us to move forward. So you are arguing it's not even the bare minimum.
Mm-mm.
I mean, Ms. Claria Kente, thank you for the interview.
Okay.
I mean, she's amazing, isn't she? From the South African Domestic Service and Allied Workers Union.
Okay.
Thank you for your contribution this evening.
All right. Thank you very much.
Listening to Law Focus? Connect with VAR-FAM 88.1 on Twitter and Facebook. Be your own lawyer. Law Focus on VAR-FAM 88.1. Point of information.
Welcome back to Law Focus, and on the line we have Ms. Jabulile Duba from the Legal Aid, and she's a labor lawyer and she practices in the field. And as we said, we're speaking about domestic workers' employment rights this evening. Ms. Jabulile, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
As I was saying, we're talking about the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, you and I, and I think it's a conversation that we need to share with our listeners. And you were highlighting some of the areas. Can you please take us through the areas that which you were talking about with the regional, the implementation of the minimum wage? Let's start with the minimum wage. Yeah.
It differs through the areas. I think if the employees, the employer are not complying with the minimum wage, the step that they need to follow is to report to the Department of Labor, and then where the inspector is the one who will take the complaint and then go and make appointment with the employer to address this particular issue. So, and then the other issue, where also including the contract, if it's still the employer is not giving the employee the contract, is not determining exactly the working hours of the person, or the person is working and overtime, is not being compensated for that, is working on Sundays and is not compensated properly in terms of the Basic Conditions Employment Act. On those particular areas, the employees must approach the Department of Labor, and then the department is able to send the inspector, and then the inspector is the one who goes there and then meet with the employer. If the employer is failing to do that, and then enforcement part took place.
Okay, I mean, I think that the primary issue, especially with the South African Domestic Service and Allied Workers Union, they raised a very serious issue. They said that even though all of these laws are in place, the problem is that we have terrible implementation, but I think also enforcement measures. What would your argument be in that regard?
I think I'll partly agree with it, but mostly what I think is the issue is that the people, because they have that stigma that even if I report, nothing is happening. What I can advise them is that when you have this problem, you go to the Department of Labor. When you go there, they open a case for you. And when you see that there is nothing happening, you make a follow-up with it, with that particular person, because you are being allocated to a particular inspector who's supposed to work with your matter. And when you see that there is no progress in that part, then you ask for the manager in that particular center. Surely you will get assistance, I know. At the end of the day, when a report is being now set out to say, this we followed with the employer, a complaint was sent, and then this is the report, still is not complying, then the inspector now, they refer this case to court, where the court will issue an order now that 1, 2, 3, the employer should comply with.
You know, Ms. Duba, I was speaking to Ms. Gloria Kente from the South African Domestic Service and Allied Workers Union, and she said to me, this minimum wage is not going to be implemented. She has no hope whatsoever. And I said to her, maybe hopefully something can be. She said the other problem is that it's not even enough.
I think it's the issue to be that it's not enough. It's not enough. I agree with them that to say it's not enough. And then the implementation part, I think us as the employees and also the unions, they should be the one who are taking these matters to the department, and they make follow-up, because for them, they know very well that if maybe the inspector is not doing enough, is not doing what is expected in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, then they know exactly that where we must report this matter, because at the end of the day, this matter must end in court, and the order must be issued to say then this particular person is in contempt now of the court order.
Yeah, I think, and also the Socioeconomic Rights Institute raised a very broader issue. And they said that the fundamental of it all is to find a legal framework that which will incorporate enforcement mechanisms into the space of what they refer to as the private space of the employer. What would your view be?
The two parties, the domestic part representative and employers organizing themselves. Then they form a bargaining council specifically for this sector. Then have a collective, then now, agreement. That is when maybe it can be able to now enhance the implementation part of this rights and also this minimum wage.
Okay.
So I know now, as it stands, it is, I agree with them that it is very difficult that all the employers can
reach that again. Okay. So what does legal aid do for a troubled domestic worker?
Normally what you can say, we do outreach, and then if an employee then comes to us also, maybe to our offices, to say we have this particular problem, then we do advise the employee what to do, where to report, and then maybe on other issues where it says that the matter then now needs to be referred, it's a dismissal matter, which is we are not part of it today, then we are able to assist in cases of dismissals. But when the matter, like the basic conditions now that we are discussing today, it's more or less being dealt with by the Department of Labor. We just advise the employee that you have to go and lodge a complaint to the department, and then it has to be opened. You must have a reference number, and then you also must be told who will be handling this case. And if you don't receive a joy or a feedback on this particular thing, this is the step that you need to follow.
Okay, that was Ms. Jabulile Duba, who's a legal aid, who works at the Legal Aid South Africa, and she's a labor lawyer, and she was giving us quite strong views there. Ms. Duba, thank you for your contribution this evening.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Law Focus. Point of information.
And that's all we have for this week on Law Focus. And this week we're discussing domestic workers' employment rights, and we've spoken to the union, who seem to be a bit appalled, and they don't believe that the implementation of the national minimum wage will amount to anything. We have also spoken to Sweep South, who have a lighter version of the grotesque circumstances. We've spoken to SIRI, Socioeconomic Rights Institute, and they've given us a blow-by-blow of what it is that domestic workers experience on a day-to-day basis. I mean, too much has been said, too much still needs to be done. Here at Law Focus, all we can do is talk, and all we can do is find a way to implement. But at the end of the day, it's a stakeholder's job. I mean, thank you for joining us this evening. Find us on social media at Vow FM. Podcast will be available on journalism.co.za. Join us next week. And must thank, from me, Basil Shirinda, your host, and from my producer, Ms. Bulali Diakobu, and our consultant producer, Kuto Tsikani, our executive producer, Lerato Makate. It's law, it's serious. Good evening.
Listening to Law Focus? Connect with Vow FM 88.1 on Twitter and Facebook. Be your own lawyer. Listen to the Law Focus podcast on www.journalism.co.za.